know Pals O' Mine? I was just reading yesterday about Bette Midler being set to play Mae West in an HBO movie. How perfect is that? I mean, two campy broads. I was trying to remember which Mae West movie I saw first. I would watch all 30s and 40s movies when I was in high school. I was just obsessed with them. I think the first Mae West film I saw was the one where she actually said that now famous line, "Come up and see me sometime." She intrigued me because she wasn't young. I think she was late 30s when she started out, which is pretty rare in Hollywood, and she certainly wasn't thin. And she, I think, her allure was her lack of self-confidence. She was a sexual woman, and she knew it, and that was the pull. When she made Myra Breckinridge, I was in high school, I think, at the time also. It was a horrible, horrible film on all levels. It was just really bad. And she was actually thinner at that point. But some of her features were sharper looking. I don't know. It was just really sad for me to see her in what she was trying to do, but failing miserably. And I prefer not to think about that part of her career. I like to focus on the Hollywood heyday of her career. So I'm kind of on the fence. I want to watch the movie to see Bette portray her during all the fun stuff, but towards the end, you know, I don't know. I'll see. Okay, I'm having one of those songs stuck in my mind moments. So I'll share it with you, and maybe it'll go over to your side and I won't have it anymore. Or maybe not. It's not a contemporary song. But I just heard it on the radio today and it's just stuck. Lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama. Lay that pistol down. There you go. Oh, it's gone now. You have it. Na 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 na. Speaking of movies, contemporary ones, that is, I finally saw that movie, This American Journey. Oh, so, so good. I just absolutely fabulous. It was really, really well done. And I keep repeating myself. I can't think of the adjectives. It was balanced. It was very well balanced. This gentleman, an actor, he moved here from Australia when he was a child, and he'd become disheartened about America, our attitudes, our views, our perspectives that, you know, he felt had not gone in a very positive direction. So he went on this road trip. And so it's from coast to coast and all the places in between. And he got the highlights of different perspectives, politics, religion. And it's just a really well-balanced film. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I don't know where all it is. I happen to see it on Hulu. But it's really, really good. This American Journey. Watch it. So in that movie, there is a street musician who was talking about adding speakers and mics to his performance. And so he said, instead of two hillbillies, it sounded like four hillbillies. And I got to thinking about the music that played around the house when I was a child, which was definitely country for the most part. Although my mom had a couple of classical albums she would throw on when my dad wasn't around. Although I have to say, my dad loved The Doors, specifically Riders on the Storm. He really liked the darkness of that. And he also loved Jefferson Airplane. Yes, Airplane. That was before Starship. Just like before Wings, Paul McCartney was in The Beatles. Educate yourself, people. Anyway, I'm one of those people who require a variety of music for different moods and different days, which is why I'm a huge fan of Pandora. I remember learning how to play Iron Butterflies in a Gotta Vida on a guitar in sixth grade. It wasn't electric, but it gave me a taste of what wasn't playing at home because I didn't have any older siblings. So I had to rely heavily on friends who did have older siblings. So I didn't have that much exposure. One of the first concerts I attended was Heart at a local conference center where we were in the section without seats. And so you had to bring your own chair, or like the couple next to me, bring a blanket and have sex in it all night. The floor was actually a cool place to be because of the vibration from the bass playing. Concerts I have attended over the years have been kind of sporadic. I've never been a diehard fan of any particular artist or group, so serious fans intrigue me. Virginia Jo Dunlap is enamored of heavy metal and has traveled around the world to attend concerts and festivals. Here's what this business consultant slash attorney had to say. So, you've traveled around the world, I guess, to attend concerts and festivals.
Yes, I've been to England, Denmark, and Norway to attend, and Canada to attend festivals and heavy metal concerts.
And what has your experience been as far as age, the demographics over the years and
It's really varied because metal really started, at least in the United States, in the 80s, in the 70s in the UK. And so you have people who are older than I am, so into their 50s and 60s, and younger. Especially in the European countries, it's still very popular with the younger demographics. Here in the United States, it seems to be, again, it's across the board and kind of a mix. And so it's very nice to go and to concerts and see that kind of a range that's there.
Now, how did you first hear it? Did you have older siblings who had music around the house?
I grew up in a country music house. That's all we ever listened to. And it was really not until I was, gosh, probably in my 30s, and I was skiing with a guy who was a heavy metal fan, a Metallica fan. And so he introduced me to the music, but I didn't really pay much attention to it until, in the early 2000s, I guess. I was happened to be in a CD store and saw Metallica's Black Album, and I thought, kind of had a memory of it and said, wow, you know, maybe I should check it out. And when I brought it home, I was so impressed with the lyrics and the complexity of the music. I thought it was a huge surprise to me. I'd never really thought about metal in that way.
Now, who are your favorites that you, every time they have a new CD or DVD out, you go out and buy it?
Always Metallica, and that's the band that I have followed around the world, I guess. But there are some younger bands. Volbeat is one of them. It's a Danish band with it has a rockabilly kind of influence. So Johnny Cash and Elvis were influences on these Danes.
Well, that's got to be interesting slant.
It is. They're I first saw them actually in Denmark, and they were opening for Metallica. And it's one of the few times I have seen an opening act get an encore. And
Wow.
so that's really, really rare. And Metallica took note of that. And so, 3 or 4 years ago, they invited them to tour the US with them a couple of times. So I always go see Volbeat. There's also a Finnish cello band that got its start doing covers of Metallica songs, but now has branched off, and that band's name is Apocalyptica, and I enjoy going to see them. In fact, I think I got you to go see them one night with me.
Yes, you did. That was different.
Yeah, one or two of the cellists are actually in the Finnish symphony. the National
Symphony. That explains the classical aspect then. Okay.
Yes.
I liked how they introduced classical music to heavy metal, who normally probably would not be open to it. That was nice.
Yeah, it's not unusual to have that crossover. I think there's the complexity in some of the bands actually do that. In fact, Metallica played with the San Francisco Symphony, and they did a couple of CDs with that symphony. And then one of the during the holidays, you hear about TSO, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And a lot of people don't recognize that that is actually what's kind of known as in the subgenres as power metal. And so I hadn't really paid much attention to TSO. A friend invited me to go, and I went to one of their concerts, and I just kind of chuckled because that band has a following that's into their 60s and 70s, 80s, you know, people going, and here they don't even have any idea that they're actually listening to a metal.
Now, since you've been following Metallica around for years, I'm guessing that you're in a fan club of theirs.
Yeah, they have that what's called the Met Club. And so it provides opportunities for you to get tickets early to be in the pit, which is the best place to see Metallica, is right up front and, you know, with everybody, the hardcore fans there singing along. And yeah, it's a good time.
Nope. Going to different places in the world, different venues, how do you compare them to those in this country, to the United States?
It's a little different, especially in the European countries. You don't have the people driving to the concerts like you do here in the United States. It's more, there's no tailgating because there are no cars. So you walk, you take a bus, you ride your bike, you know, you get to the concerts however you can. When I saw Metallica in Denmark, in Aarhus, Denmark, we were able to take concert buses to the venue. And so, you know, they were able to get 25,000 people into a industrial area. Actually, it was a field in an industrial area. But you couldn't get that many people out, though they just didn't have enough buses. So we ended up walking the 5 kilometers back to the city center after standing in for about 6 hours.
Good walking shoes.
Oh, you need good walking shoes. You need good standing shoes, hiking boots.
What about alcohol in their events compared to here?
A lot more alcohol. In Denmark in particular, I remember they were selling them either in 4-packs or 6-packs. I think it was 6 beers that you could buy at a time, and the lines for the beer were just huge.
How about food? I mean, do they have all the crap like we have here?
I honestly don't remember much about the food.
Okay, that you remember the 6-packs. Got it. You are a heavy metal fan.
You know, I don't even know if they had any food in the venues that I've been to. I just don't remember that. Now, the festivals are different, you know, because you're there multiple days, and those have food vendors.
What's the longest festival you've attended?
I think it was 3 days in England when I went to the Download Festival in Castle Donington. That's that year it happened to rain most of the time, so it was incredibly muddy and more of a challenge, because you truly were standing all day long because there was no place to sit because of the mud.
Were you camping on there, on the site there?
No, I actually opted to get a hotel room that was about 2 miles away, so I would actually walk to the festival and then back.
Stand all day and then walk back the 2 days?
Yes.
The 2 miles, I mean.
Yes.
Okay.
I was very, very sore.
I'm God, yeah. Well, the alcohol probably helped.
You know, I actually didn't drink any alcohol that one.
I guess you're just into the moment, the energy of the moment, I guess, kind of distracts you somewhat. Huh?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a little disappointing because of the rain, because I think that really sort of dampened the whole experience.
Literally and figuratively, huh?
Yeah, it did. But you know, because it was a very different experience from the first day until the last day when the sun came out a little bit and people were a little more engaged in the whole festival.
It was in Denmark where Lars is from, Metallica?
Yes.
So did you find a different energy because in his hometown, so to speak?
Not so much because of that. It's just the energy is, it's different at each show. So it doesn't, even though you can see them on the same tour, it's just very dependent upon the people and that are actually there. And where you are in the audience, you'll have a different experience. Sometimes at concerts, I will actually move around the venue, you know, be up front and then move towards the middle and to the back, just to get a sense as to what's, you know, what everybody who's there is kind of experiencing.
Hmm. Too bad you aren't on their crew. You'd probably do a great PR job for them. Now, what other perks do you get for being a member? I mean, do you have different events that are not what the average person would have access to?
Yeah, Metallica in particular is really good about offering its fans opportunities to get into special shows. I was fortunate enough to go to Santa Monica one year when they were doing a private party for Call of Duty, which is a game that's been out now for a little while, but they were performing in an airport hangar in Santa Monica, and there were 400 Metallica fans with combined with 400 gamers, and so that was, you know, it was a small venue, but it was a great opportunity to see Metallica play to a, you know, mixed crowd. You know,
different dynamic for sure.
Very different.
What did you bring back from that? I mean, did you have any souvenirs, or because it was a game, was it a different kind of giveaway?
No.
Souvenir?
I don't think I probably brought anything back from that. Usually I'll buy a t-shirt when I go, and so I have a, you know, huge collection of black t-shirts.
Of course they're black.
Almost everything is black. I'm kind of now in the point where I just go and look for things that are not black and won't buy them unless they are some other color at this point.
Well, what events are coming up that's on your schedule or in your sights?
I actually don't have anything right at the moment. I do know that if Metallica puts on its festival again, like it's done for the past 2 years, that I'll go to that because it's a great opportunity not only to see Metallica, but to see other bands that they bring in to play. And they don't do a heavy metal concert or a festival per se, but they'll do some cross sections, you know, some influencers in various types of music. So, like for one of the years, they had Eric Church, who's on the countryside. But then they'll have Gogo Bordella, which is a punk, gypsy punk band. So it's a real mix that they'll bring to their festivals.
It's more interesting.
Yeah. You definitely get to see some different type of music.
Now, some of the ones that have been around for a while, are you surprised they're still around? Like maybe they shouldn't still be out there? Maybe they've lost some of that spark, or are they holding their own? Or,
you know, I think probably the longest standing one would be Black Sabbath. And I've been fortunate enough to see Black Sabbath with both Ronnie James Dio, who's passed away, and Ozzy Osbourne. And I think they're still relevant. I think they're still making good music and that's of interest to people, both young and old. And so I don't see some of those. Iron Maiden, I enjoyed their concerts. Judas Priest, again, long time metal bands from the UK. I've seen some through the years where I've kind of thought, you know, they're just kind of mailing it in, but it's not, for the most part, that's not the case.
Now, if someone is just getting into heavy metal, are there certain artists and or songs in particular that really give a good taste of what appeals to you?
Yeah, it's such a there's so many different genres now. There's, you know, death metal, and there's black metal, and there's power metal, and you know, thrash metal, and it just kind of goes on. So it really depends on what speaks to you. I like the vocals that I can understand, so that rules out most of the death and black metals for me.
The screaming mostly.
The screaming or the distorted vocals. Hmm. So I like, you know, things that I can understand, and I really am very passionate about excellent guitar playing, both as in speed as well as just being able to compose the music. And so that's what I like to look for in bands, is to go check out how well the lead guitarists play.
So what would you suggest to somebody who's a parent and maybe is not into heavy metal so much now? Any songs that you think maybe they could tolerate, especially because if you got rock in your background, like a lot of us do, I mean, there are aspects of metal that are lovely, that I enjoy, but like you said, some of them, they're not lyric friendly or vocal friendly, but maybe there's a median that maybe they could at least communication connect with.
Well, you know what's funny is when I go to baseball games or any kind of, well, even listening on TV to some of the car advertisements, so many of those events now have what was traditionally heavy metal or, you know, some of the harder rock songs that are playing. It's not unusual to go to a baseball game and hear some of the Metallica songs or AC/DC or even Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. It just, I think everything has really changed. You know, there used to be this panic, and I used to be, you know, absolutely not somebody who would go to a metal concert because I was worried about it. So I think there's a definite change in that venue in terms of any of the older bands, the ones who have been around, Sabbath, Judas Priest, even some of the hard rock, like Aerosmith, Rolling Stones, all of those have become more what I'll call mainstream, and so are putting out music and have had music that may not have been listened to in a parent's high school era, but now would be considered mainstream today. And so that would be something that their kids might want to listen to.
Take me out to the ball game. I might hear some heavy metal.
You definitely will.
Although Topps Trading Cards came out with heavy metal trading cards, they were a bust. But you can create a custom Topps trading card on their website, and I think that would be kind of a fun holiday gift idea, and especially for an older person. I mean, you could get really creative. The photo, the stats, you know what I'm saying? Topps, topps.com/create-your-own-trading-cards. There you go. So there's also a paperback book that's kind of fun. It's for golfers. Shakespeare on Golf, compiled by David Goodenough. I hope I'm saying his name right. G-O-O-D-N-O-U-G-H. So what he did was he gathered quotes from the bard's various plays, and he applied them to specific events or scenarios in a golf game that you can use to impress and amuse, or probably really annoy, your golfing buddies while playing around or watching it on the screen. Here's a few examples. Say you're watching an amateur taking part in his first pro-am. Against ill chances, men are very merry, but heaviness foreruns the good event. Ball ending up in a divot. An odious damned lie. Upon my soul, a lie, a wicked lie. Doubtful of caddy's advice. Be sure of it. Give me the ocular proof. 5-iron. This is the short and the long of it. 4. Something wicked this way comes. Missed a 2-footer. The destinies will curse thee for this stroke. Newcomer to the senior tour. Is it not strange that desire should so many years outlive performance? Overswing. Ho, now you strike like a blind man. Public links. You know the course is common. Course closed for the season. Now is the winter of our discontent. There's even a little play written at the back. So again, it's called Shakespearean on Golf, compiled by David Goodenough. And finally, here's a funny line from comedian Jim Gaffigan. I hope I never have to choose between my children and garlic bread. Do something different this week. Get a scrolling digital license plate frame. At the very least, you'll give that bored driver behind you something to read while stuck in traffic.